measure success.
Osama bin Laden. That's right, he's back. Ladies and gentlemen, the boogeyman is back. Oh, I'm starting to be really afraid now. Good morning, Will.
Morning, Vinny.
Now, I'm going to read this out, man. This is great. Purported bin Laden message focuses on relief development. Pakistan, probably. A message purportedly from al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden, LCIA leader Arden, is urging Muslims to tackle famine, flood relief, the effects of climate change, and clean water, stark problems plaguing parts of the Islamic world. Oh, mate, climate change is now a terrorist-supported activity. I knew all along. The message, which appeared on Jihadist Forums Friday, strongly urged Muslims to help Muslims by investing in infrastructure projects, probably through Halliburton, and developing awareness programs, such as how to deal with issues like water pollution. Sending tents and medicine is necessary, but the catastrophe is bigger and way more than it can be offered in terms of quantity, quality and timing, said the message, which shunned the usual talk of jihadi issues with the United States. We need a transitional change in the way we act in the relief effort. The speaker stated and started the message by wishing the Muslim world a happy Ramadan, which fell between early August and early September. And he also focused on the floods in Pakistan. The speech entitled Pauses with the Method of Relief Work came with an 11-minute, 39-second video produced by al-Qaeda's media arm as Sahab. CNN could not verify the authenticity of the message, but the CIA could, because they made it! That's an assumption on my part, of course. The video featured a still photo of bin Laden with alternating images of people in disaster zones receiving aid over the voice of the speaker. Now, would anybody else know Osama bin Laden's voice when you hear it? Oh, God. Well, I think the programmers are back in action. What do you reckon?
I think they've always been in action.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, now they're into climate change. Well, yeah, of course. It's got their fingerprints all over it, huh?
Yeah. And you know what's annoying? Is that it's so easy to see it now. And what's worse about being easy to see it is its pervasiveness. The New World Order is freaking everywhere. They own the terrorists. They own the armies. But fortunately, they don't own Vinnie Eastwood or Will. And we'll be right back. The way it's going to be.
Monsieur.
on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And, well, suspicion is a subject that I want to get into. Suspicion and paranoia. Something that really, really does affect many people in the truth movement. One of the things that will not only make you angry with other people that haven't done anything, but also make you paranoid and crazy. And it happens, you know, and it's unfortunate when it does. And quite frankly, I don't know, I don't have any idea how to calm someone down who's paranoid. Really. You know, you just can't do anything with them. You know, if somebody's decided to be paranoid, are they going to be any use to the truth movement after that? Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But it depends to what degree, again, and like Freemasonry, like Freemasonry, it's all a matter of degrees. And, yeah. I suppose, I don't know, Will, have you ever gotten, like, uber paranoid before?
I don't know, because I think it's a bullcrap distinction to begin with. I don't know, because I think it's a bullcrap distinction to begin with. I think it's like hearing people say, oh, stop conspiracy theorizing about things. Oh, what is paranoid? You know, I hear stoners say it, I hear. Oh, I just think it's bullcrap, really.
Well, I'll just tell you what I think paranoia is. Paranoia is accusing everybody of being against you when nobody has done a damn thing against you at all. All right?
Believing yeah, is there someone who's doing this all day? I mean...
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, fact of the matter is, no matter how much you keep people in the loop, if they're convinced that you're not keeping them in the loop, they'll keep accusing you each and every stage you inform them of stuff that goes on, that you're keeping them out of the loop. You know, it's insane.
Well, I think it's a grey line. I think suspicion and what most people would call paranoia has led us to the conclusions that we've come to. In terms of finding out there's a new world order and understanding there's people behind the scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why you find those personality types in the truth movement, which is why there are legitimately crazy truthers out there. It just has to be, you know what I mean? Like, you're dealing with that hemisphere of thought, I suppose, and there are double agents and there are patsies and dupes, and there are all these people. That's 100% guaranteed. 100% guaranteed. It's just a matter of who, which leads to people being paranoid.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just the frustration aspect, really. I mean, you try to be honest, you try to be truthful, and people just twist your words and, you know, make you out and to be the bad guy. Which is ironic, really, because I try to make myself to be the bad guy, you know, just in general, so that I don't turn into one. You know, as long as everybody suspects that I'm an evil psyop agent or whatever the hell like that, it's more likely, well, less likely that I'll actually wind up turning into one. That's my tactic, you know.
Well, I just think it's being consistent.
The problem with it is if you're honest, and in this world, I know that being honest is an incredible disadvantage. All right, seriously, you hamstring yourself if you become honest, because it's so much easier for people to take advantage of you, for people to lie to you, and for people to, you know. Get whatever they want out of relationships with you, you know? And why would they bother doing anything different, really? I mean, that's kind of like emblematic of how the public gets treated by their government. If you keep trusting me, I'll keep lying to you.
You have to be honest, but you can't, at the same time, you can't give everything away. And so that's just an unfortunate side effect of the way the world is and the way people are these days. Or maybe forever, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, we're living under the scientific dictation of omission, you know. That's what we do, man. Seriously. Running around, trying to omit what we know for fear that if it's revealed, we'd wind up getting some grief for it, you know? And I hate that. It's really just gross, I think, personally, you know? What? There's nothing wrong with somebody telling the truth, right? But unless the other person who you're telling the truth to isn't willing to accept it, okay? That's why you could kind of have to have conditionalities on relationships. If I'm going to give you unbridled, unadulterated, uncensored truth, you need to have unlimited acceptance in order to receive it, more or less. Because the only way that I know that I can safely tell you the truth and not be judged for it, not be accused of being COINTELPRO for it, you know, when I can actually honestly give people my opinion and not receive backlash. Because that's the key paranoia, I think, is that if people are just basically making stuff up off the top of their head because they've just gone frickin' nuts, you know. But maybe your definition for paranoia is different, Will. But that's my one.
I just don't use the term, really. But, I mean, I can I just call it craziness, but I can understand the connotation. But, yeah, I mean, personally, I've heard everything, you know, every sort of insult under the sun I've had, but I've never had anyone call me an agent or anything like that. And I think it's sort of being, no matter what you do, do it consistently. So if you're going to be like Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck and lie and be sensational, you know, just over the top on everything, then keep it up. and if you're going to do what we do and try and be honest and truthful and try and stick to one side and try and present the truth, then do that. But don't flip-flop around. Don't try and please all sides. Don't try and be everything to everyone, because then you end up doing what politicians do. And then people end up attracting, you know, all this sort of gravity. Like, I seriously think there's like a recipe for it.
Yeah. The recipe for insanity. Now, what is it? Perhaps it's socializing. I think if you withdraw from society in general, that's when the insanity starts. Okay, because this movement can get you very worried, and it can also fill you up with a lot of distrust and particularly a lot of hate, which leads to a bit of depression. And all that combination of such, coupled with no socializing, not talking about things, will basically make you go insane. You know, it's not terribly illogical to assume that. People have been going nuts all throughout history, haven't they? And, you know, in today's world, whatever the hell that means, there's innumerable challenges that people face. And it's not just a youth problem. It's not just an adult problem. We're all feeling really alienated, especially because we know that there's so much programming going on out there, and it becomes difficult to meet new people and, more to the point, care what they have to say when they open their mouths. And I'm kind of becoming like a anti-New World Order fascist to a certain extent, you know. Become, well, shall we say, dismissive of people who don't know about the New World Order already, right? As if they're not worth my time kind of thing. And maybe this is going to force me to become some sort of elitist. And that's kind of scary to me. You know, how you can make distinctions on people based upon what they already know rather than on what they're capable of learning.
Well, I think people are what they think, and I think that's being nice. A lot of people judge other people how they dress, how they act physically, how they, where they live, the color of their skin, their age, their gender, their star sign, some idiots. I tend to judge people by the content of their brains, their minds, their actions, their judgments. And so when people are talking politics and they're saying vote for this person and they're doing this, that and the other, and they're out in their community pushing for people to respond politically in certain ways, and I talk to them and I find they're not aware of the World Bank and the IMF and the Federal Reserve and the Bank of England and the New World Order and the manipulation of media and things like this, then I do judge them. I do get stuck into them. So I'm not too worried about, to be honest, about a certain 5% or so of crazy truthers who want to, you know, get the wrong end of the stick and go around pointing the finger at people like us. Because most of them you find even aren't truthers. They're just agents posing as truthers, or they're just, you know, on the payroll, shills and dupes and intelligence assets. So, you know, I'm not really worried about those people. The average person is mentally ill. The average person is mentally ill. I say that via their what they spend their money on, what they value and interest, what they hold dearest to them, what they watch on a Friday and Saturday night. They're insane, given what's going on. I'm not worried about 1 or 2% of 1 or 2% of truthers. I'm worried about 85% of people.
Are you really? You're worried about the vast majority? The vast majority don't do anything, though, Will.
The vast majority carry the establishment on their shoulders. The vast majority support the pyramid. The vast majority are the reason the Federal Reserve is the Federal Reserve. The vast majority are the reason you have to pay taxes to an illegal government that wages legal wars.
Well, actually, I'd blame the global elite for that.
Or you can blame them for instigating, for putting the inception there, but who holds you there? If you go out and don't pay tax, Vinny, they will arrest you today or tomorrow or next year, and they will throw you in prison. And the average member in public, if you tried to put out a siren song to help you, to stop you going to prison, they would say, good job, everyone has to pay tax. And they would hold you there. Their ignorance would hold you there. See that? There is the 85% of people are the reason. If they can fool most of the people most of the time, then they have most of the control. And that's exactly what they have. They can't fool all of us all the time. And they're perfectly aware of that.
Are we all dupes here? You know, how easy is it really to manipulate a human being? Now, I'm kind of confused a lot of the time in my life because I try to draw distinctions between things. You know, what's the distinction between good and evil, or what's the distinction between business or politics, or et cetera, et cetera. And perhaps this is again a false argument. Maybe distinguishing between what you're supporting and what you're not supporting is more key, rather than distinguishing concepts in isolation.
Okay, so how would you define that, what you're supporting and what you're not supporting? Would you mean that in terms of activist groups, or do you mean in terms of political groups? Or?
I don't know, and maybe it's in just a very, very general thing that I'm talking about here, where, well, let's say I support freedom, for example, and then go out and support whole bunches of different groups, many of which that I have general disagreements with, but because I believe so much in freedom, I support those groups anyway. Maybe that's not such a good idea.
Well, maybe, you know, my view, I'm a fanatic. Unless people tick like 10 boxes, then they're out of it.
And then maybe you're the anti New World Order fascist, not me.
Oh yeah, I'm more sort of hardcore and not deviating. I don't call someone a truther unless they are a truther, and that means they agree that 9/11 is an inside job, they agree that the banks are manipulating money, they agree that secret societies are running things. Now, so by that distinction, I don't call many New Zealand activists like Joe Carolyn and Martin Bomber Bradbury, I don't call them truthers. I call Penny Bright a truther. I call Tim Selwyn a truther. I call even someone like Colin Craig a truther. But I don't include a lot of people who you might, Vinny.
Well, yeah, you're probably right. You know,
that's the argument over distinctions and stuff. And I know it's hard to draw lines too. I get confused about where. I don't know if anyone knows where lines are sometimes. But as the truth movement is defined, you know, a lot of activists just aren't there, man, because they're involved in the COINTEL that's gone on for so long, and the exhaust valve systems. Like Greenpeace and commie groups.
Yeah, oh, wow. Greenpeace is something that I draw a distinction against, right? But at the same time, what was it? We had Wiri from Zeitgeist on here, and in general, you don't like Zeitgeist, but you like Wiri because he's not fully into it. But also one of his mates... when the police came round to his house to take his car for no good reason, of course. We interviewed him, and he was a member of Greenpeace supporting Wiri. You know, oh, what a tangled web we weave. It's difficult to know the difference sometimes. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back. Live on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And, well, I don't know, man. Kind of getting a little bit ticked off with people sometimes, you know, and in this movement, I think probably as a young guy, and maybe this will wear out when I get older, you get the rage. You know, you just get uber angus because everything's so frustrating and irritating. And, you know, it's kind of dangerous, I think, being angry. Because, let's face it, you can get a hell of a lot more done when you're angry. You know? I've never quit a job because I was depressed. I've only quit a job because I was angry with it. I've never gone out and said something that I didn't want to say because I was depressed. I did it because I was angry. You know, you lose control of yourself on both spectrums, but one of them, your energy and the things that you do wrong project outwards, and the other one, depression, it projects inwards. You know, I've always said that anger is simply depression plus motivation. So, on the one hand, far more useful. On the other hand, far more volatile and dangerous. you know. And because I'm an angry young guy, as everybody can obviously tell, people will shy away from it. And it's not for everybody, you know, because they're probably just used to being depressed and being unmotivated and accomplishing nothing with their lives, you know, which is a shame. You could have the rage too, and you could be accomplishing stuff. You could be fighting against the New World Order. You know, you could be making videos. You could be making a radio show. Or you could be, I don't know, chatting with us on Facebook or something. You know? I'm always at a crossroads, you know, always. And I'm never sure about where I'm going. I'm never sure about, well, basically anything. That's why it's so easy for me to change my mind, is because I, well, my belief structure is very kind of odd, isn't it, Will? You know, as soon as somebody presents evidence that conflicts with my belief structure, and if the evidence checks out, I change my belief structure. What a madman, you know? And that's and that doesn't happen very often in this society, I'll tell you what. You know, we've got so many dogmatic individuals out there running on about their religion or running on about their political party that they support and all of this kind of stuff, and it's all isolated, and whenever anybody conflicts with their evidence, they go absolutely freaking nuts and try to stab you with a pitchfork and, you know.
What? That can be advantageous if they're on your side, Vinny.
Yeah, but you know, do we want crazy-ass people who are incapable of being convinced otherwise about anything on your team helping you? I'm all for inclusion, you know, but at the same time, it's kind of dangerous to have people like that.
Well, I consider myself pretty dogmatic. Because, for instance, not dogmatic in the formation of beliefs, but then once beliefs are formed and they check out, and you keep checking them out on a regular basis, and you keep sort of expanding ideas, I mean, yeah, I'm a fairly dogmatic individual. I prefer dogmatism over pragmatism, because pragmatism says that you need to accept what is practically, you know, applicable to you. So, for example, my dogmatic self says, you know, screw John Key putting up taxes. Taxes are an illegal form of revenue gathering to pay central banks. A pragmatic side, a pragmatic population, would say, we're in a financial crisis. We're in huge amounts of debt. John Key's cut personal income taxes, the GST increase to 15% yesterday, is just a way of compensating for that. You see what I mean? That's the difference between pragmatism and dogmatism. So I'm a dogmatic individual. That means you stick to your guns. Pragmatic people, their morality can waver in the wind depending upon, you know, what he or she says.
Yeah, it reminds me of something. It reminds me of something my English teacher said. What she believed was the definition of redneck is somebody who changes their political ideology based upon current events and doesn't actually have any real belief structure. You know, like all of a sudden 9/11 happens, and then from the belief structure of independent sovereignty and detachment and staying out of international wars, it does the direct opposite. You know, all of a sudden on a dime, I've got an enemy, I've got somebody to hate, let's go do it. You know, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with a little bit of hate and mass genocide? You know, and that's the danger. And again, you know, that's the danger of pragmatism, isn't it?
Well, when pragmatism feeds into problem, reaction, solution, whereas pure dogmatism doesn't. See what I mean? Because if they stage events to drum up fear, a pragmatic person will respond to that and say, look, we've got to go and invade Afghanistan. Look, we've got to have a banker bailout. Look, we've got to have these vaccine schedules because of the swine flu. You see what I mean? Is that response mechanism is initiated in a pragmatic person via staging events. But in a dogmatic person like myself, I'm just going to go, no, F you. I'm just going to go, you know what I mean? Pretty much every step of the way. Which makes me a difficult person to get along with. Sure. Sure. But it makes me also a difficult person to propagandize. But so, I mean,
or rather, a difficult person to propagandize otherwise.
But in the same sentence, I changed my mind from being a square sort of person. When I was 16, 17, I was an ACT supporter. I supported in New Zealand what's seen as a far-right political party. And my friends at school, see, I went to a moderate liberal school. And my friends at school were saying, since when did you become right-wing? A good friend of mine said, and to me in sixth form, he said, you're so confusing, you're such a mixed bag of political thought. It took me about 4 or 5 years to work out that I wasn't completely right-wing, I wasn't completely left-wing, I just agreed with certain ideals, and the certain ideals that I agreed with from both camps were the ones that feed into personal liberties, civil rights, and true independent freedoms, which are few and far between, which are pretty scant between both political parties, which is why... probably why I've become frustrated with them and started looking for other stuff. You know what I mean? So I wasn't dogmatic and bigoted as much then as I am now because I was still hunting for a lot of stuff. But even now, I've opened my mind up. I firmly believe this whole reality is an illusion. That's why I actually admire, groups that you think I take the piss out of daily, and like the Freemasons. I actually admire them on a certain level. You know why? Because at least the Freemasons can question reality to a high degree. At least unlike the average dupe on the street out there, which says there is no God, there is no nothing, there is nothing, nothing, nothing. At least the Freemasons are actually involved, whether they know it or not, some of them know it, some of them don't, in decoding reality. Because reality is this whole reality is full of things like Fibonacci sequence. It's full of mathematical giveaways. And once people understand that, then they start to understand the true nature of reality and how certain people manipulate it. Well, that's what I was on a personal quest for, and I think that's what a lot of people are on a personal quest for. They may know it, they may not.
Hey, aren't we all on like some kind of personal quest of self-discovery at the same time? I remember, who was it? I think it was David Charles Dennis. He was talking about the holographic universe and how we kind of like a human body, sort of like this biological computer, and it's we're living in this holographic virtual reality program, right? And I asked him, whenever a computer program is actually set up, it's usually either part of an experiment or, a message of learning to it. There has to be a point to a program, right? And so I asked him, what's the point of this program? If all this reality is not here and it's not literal, if we're living in a frickin' fantasy, in the words of... our favorite guy, what's his name? Peter Joseph. If it's all just a fantasy, then what's the point? All right.
Yeah, nihilism, yeah.
All right. Now, I think that there is a point. People ask what's the point as though it's a rhetorical question. Me, when I ask the question, what's the point, I'm actually looking for an answer.
See, pragmatism goes hand in hand with relativism also. People are comparing things to things all the time. When I had a huge argument with my uncle, who lives locally, He was just all saying, well, compared to Russia, we have a great life. Well, compared to Mao, compared to this, compared to that. And I said, why are you so being such a relativist? He said, what else is there? And I said, there is a real bar, a real line between freedom and tyranny. And so it doesn't matter where Mao sits on that and where John Key sit on that. All that matters is that there's freedom or tyranny, and we're not getting freedom. And we're on the march towards tyranny. And whether it's in the name of fighting Al-Qaeda or not, I just don't care.
Yeah, and speaking of not caring, PCHR Weekly reports 6 killed, 5 wounded by Israeli forces this week. In its weekly report on Israeli human rights violations in the occupied Palestinian territories for the week of the 23rd to 29th of September 2010, the Palestinian Center for Human Rights found that Israel forces killed 5 Palestinians, including a fisherman and a toddler in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. In addition, a member of the Palestinian resistance died of previous wounds in the Gaza Strip. They fired on a fishing boat because the guy was taking out his toddler to give him something to eat. Also this week, Israeli forces continued to use force against peaceful protesters in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. 5 Palestinian civilians, including a child and a photojournalist, were wounded. Israeli forces detained a French human rights defender for several hours. Israeli forces continued to fire at Palestinian workers and farmers in border areas in the Gaza Strip, wounding 2 workers. Now, the Gaza Strip, as far as a tactical situation for me is concerned, is like being... Dien Bien Phu is what it reminds me of. Those of you who don't know what Dien Bien Phu is, it's the last battle that the French fought against the Viet Cong, technically the Viet Minh, in the Vietnam War. And it was basically like a big crater, and in the middle there was an airfield. And the French were like dropping in their paratroopers and everything, and they were cut off in all directions by the Vietnamese. And they were on the mountainsides, all surrounding them, and there was absolutely no escape, no possibility of victory. And so the French eventually had to pull out. That's kind of similar to the Gaza situation, except the Gazans can't pull out because they're trapped in an open air prison. We'll be right back.
I got some so-called friends. They'll smile right to my face, all when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh no, no. Oh no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you? Flying a JFK, my heart goes boom, boom, boom. I know that customs man, he's gonna take me to that little room. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on?
Love it. Absolutely love Paranoia. Hey, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean you won't get cancer. Oh, yeah. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. And continuing on with this Israeli story, I mean, we talk about Israel a little bit on the show. And I'm not sure if for the reason that I'm doing it, but I can think of a reason. One being that there's so much filtering that happens between U.S. shores and Israel genocide arena that is extremely unlikely that you receive any news about the reality of what's happening in Israel. Now, at the same time, I get criticized for not covering the Palestinians' evil regime of having their children be shot by Israeli forces. I mean, they're just bad for doing that. And trying to play football and stuff like that, and having their playing fields blown up by military aircraft. I mean, those Palestinians, mate, they're just bad. And also, when they go to school and stuff like that, they have the nerve to allow white phosphorus to rain down on them. All right, these Palestinians are just bad people, okay? They need to be going down. You know. And a guy criticized me for this, you know, on my YouTube channel and stuff like that. And you can see the video that he was criticizing on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's Boycott Israel and Get Arrested. And he says, how about this? If you really want to show the truth and stir things up, why not do a bit on Hamas, its goals and its founding? Why not show both sides of the story? The story is not just the Israeli actions. Both sides are guilty as hell. Israel did what the people in Gaza wanted. They removed all the Jews from all of Gaza. Why not show what happened after that? Do your people know there is not one Jew in Gaza, that Israel feeds most of Gaza? You claim to be anti-globalist, yet you take UN reports as gospel. In brackets, the UN is globalist. For those of you who are absolutely cracking up laughing at the stupidity of this statement, I'm right with you. Hamas in Gaza has never stopped firing rockets into Israel, yet you don't condemn that. But let one Israeli fire back. Oh, the oppression. Yes, of course, considering they kill the Palestinians 1,000 to 1. Oh, no, wait. No, 100 to 1. Sorry. One of the most interesting Gaza incursions was after a couple of rockets got fired over, 14 Israelis died. And then the Israeli Defense Forces responded by killing 1,400 Palestinians. 1,400. I have to present both sides, of course. That's right. The Hamas are real evil, right? They were democratically elected evil, who, to my recollection, the Jewish community actually created as controlled opposition to get people to support what's known as a terrorist organization. You know, the people just kind of were really ticked off with Israel. And so, you know, and understandably so. I mean, after all, if you were locked in a giant mega FEMA camp, you probably wouldn't be terribly happy about whoever the heck put you there.
This is why this guy's an idiot, Vinny. Because he claims you're anti-Israeli and you need to show both sides of the... You need to show the Israeli side, pretty much. You're just showing the Palestinian side. And he specifically cites the background, the history of Hamas. But the history of Hamas is that they were founded by Mossad, an Israeli intelligence, the Israeli intelligence agency who just has free reign, like one of the most, well, I think Mossad actually throw caution and international law to the wind more than the feds in the States do, more than MI5 and MI6. More than German intelligence, more than ISI, you know. They're just completely arrogant. Anyhow, this is according to a guy called Zeev Sternel, historian at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, that Israel thought it was a smart ploy to push the Islamists against the Palestinian Liberation Organization. So founding Hamas and funding them was the way to control dissent against the PLO. You know what I mean? It's just like how the US put together Al-Qaeda to go after the Russians. But then people claim, then the mainstreamers claim, oh, these groups were founded by us, sure, and sure we created Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi and all these guys, and then they turn against us as if they weren't designed to do that in the first place.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing. Well, we know history a lot better than the general public does, and you know, we're not saying we're smarting anything here. Any dunce with 5 minutes of Google time can learn what we know about the setup of Israel and controlled opposition and all this other kind of stuff, right? But they don't, okay? And then they go out and they accuse the people who do know that they don't.
Yeah.
And they, no, and mean, they say the things like, we're a... Yeah, I mean, and they say things like we're propagandists and all that kind of stuff. You know, and...
Like,
and
why would Israel want to create Hamas?
The last thing he said to us, right, well, me, present both sides, use original documents from both sides, don't use any propaganda, but be careful, you might learn something. And it's like you said, Will, arrogant. You're listening to the Finney Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back. Number two, it's Friday for our American listeners, and for us, broadcasting live from the future of the Vinny and Will show, the Eastwood show with Will, it's Saturday, 8 a.m., and what a beautiful Saturday it is going to be. Apparently, it's going to be leaking like biblical times from the sky over this entire weekend. Great. Just freaking fabulous.
You're saying raining?
Yeah.
Leaking, really? I thought it was meant to be clear.
Was it? Oh, well, somebody told me it was going to be raining. But then again, they can't predict global warming. How the hell can they predict the weather?
Were they a warmist who said that?
No, it was my missus.
Oh, okay. That's right. We won't sacrifice them then.
What about you? Well, always accusing people of being an agent.
No, just warmists. They're not agents. They're not warmists. Aren't smart enough to be agents. That's the thing.
Oh yeah.
This automatically eliminates them from the SIS selection.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, hey, you believe in global warming? Patrol. Just get you out of there.
No, I'm sure they have a few of the suckers. They need a few suckers to run the circus down here in Auckland.
Yeah. I mean, well, useful idiots, they call them. There's plenty of them around, isn't there? But
global peace and justice, they call them.
I love the global peace and justice guys, but, you know, you have dogs.
So would I if they're hanging on the clothesline.
Yeah, you have.
No, I'm kidding. No, seriously, man.
The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and people from Global Peace and Justice.
Yeah. Troops.
Oh, the tyranny. Speaking of tyranny. What's going to happen with the super city, man? Like, seriously, God. I filled out my voting papers.
What happens is Lamb Brown's going to get elected. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, you might be right. And maybe just by us saying so, it helps them to get more votes, which really kind of ticks me off. No, I don't think so. I think that anybody who'd be open-minded enough and cool enough to listen to this show, and if you listen to the show, yes, that's you. You're open-minded and you're cool. Don't get too big about it.
No, I think we've cost him a few votes, if anything, man. The way you've been throwing his name around, I've been throwing his name around, you know. I don't think, yeah. You're just associating with John Banks. All you got to do is associate one with the other and the other with the other. You know what I mean? Like, and that way, the people who hate Banks hate Brown. The people who hate Brown hate Banks.
Yeah. Well, the question is, ladies and gentlemen, you know, who's going to win the super city? Now, the super city is basically the biggest corporate takeover in our country's history. $28 billion worth of public assets is being seized by international financiers from the Rothschild dynasty, you know, under Agenda 21 implementation. Full on, and this is what people should really get about New Zealand is that we're a New World Order testing ground. All right? They trialed the cashless population thing on us. They call it FPOS, and it worked very well. And now they implement it everywhere with your cash cards. And now they're testing Agenda 21 out on us. And boy, are we just sucking that New World Order teat to get our nutrients. For F's sake. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back. Saturday, local New Zealand time, October the 2nd. And today there's a big communist rally. They call it Red October Day. No, I'm just joking. Didn't exist. But, yeah.
I love how they celebrate May Day. I love this is so funny. It's so funny how they celebrate the day the Illuminati was founded. Which they happen to circulate a few other events around, coincidentally, which is a high holy day on the occult calendar. Adam Weishaupt waited to launch his Bavarian Illuminati on the 1st of May 1776 in Ingolstadt, Bavaria. And now that's become an International Workers' Day. How ironic. All the slaves who work for the cashless cartel celebrate it on the day the Illuminati was instituted. Freaking idiots, man. Like, I tell you, like, those are the degrees of awareness for you.
Yeah, yeah. And back on the Super City debate, I got my filled out my voting papers yesterday. And They tell you which party affiliations all these candidates have and stuff like that. And John Banks, the worst candidate that you could ever vote for, is running as an independent. Like,
why are you surprised, Vinny?
This guy is about as independent as bacteria on a dog poo. All right? For goodness sake. Oh, God! I hate dumb speak. I hate dumb things. I hate all this propaganda thing. Hey, wait a second. Where is all this hate coming from, Vinny? It's like, well, it's coming from all around me, actually. You know, it's impossible to not be filled with hate when you're surrounded by nothing but hate. You know, it's ridiculous.
Well, I don't know if the average person is as frustrated as we are about the world. In fact, I'd say they're not. And so, yep. I don't think it comes from them. It comes from inaction and uncaring mainly. It's not caring enough. And, but yeah, I'm not surprised John Banks is running as independent. He's because remember, they're not a political organization, Vinny. They don't take sides politically. They don't discuss politics, remember?
Which is why they have the Masonic Child ID program known as CHIP. Mm-hmm. In the spring of 2003, beautiful. Elizabeth Smart of Utah, abducted, held in the woods by her kidnapper, hears the scent dog searching nearby. She has been spirited away from her home, her bedroom, only hours before, according to an article by Dr. David Hart, director of the Massachusetts Masonic CHIP Child ID Program and member of the State Dental Identification Response Team. The dogs could have found her that day if Miss Smart's parent had her tooth print from the Masonic CHIP Program, or the trowel, in fall 2003. According to Irving Shapiro, assistant director of the CHIP program in Massachusetts, the CHIP began in New York to aid with finding missing and runaway children, or rather locating children that you can make go missing. So that's an assumption on my part, of course. Soon after the CHIP event in Massachusetts was held in 1996 at the North Shore Mall in Peabody, over 1,000 children's fingerprints and video images were recorded at that first event. About 4 years ago, toothprints, a simple dental impression, was added to the program. DNA oral swabs will be added in the near future. All of the identification materials are given to the children's parents or guardians to store until they may be needed by the police. The Masons do not keep any of the identification materials or any of the personal information of any of the children or parents, but the likelihood is every single one of those children is the child of a Mason. So they'll share all that information anyway. Again, an assumption on my part.
The problem is the government can subpoena them to force them to give up all the information too. You have to remember that.
Yeah, isn't that nice? The scope of the CHIP program is impressive. Since its inception, over 225,000 different children have been processed by CHIP volunteers. The Masons pay about $3 per child for all of the necessary supplies. The June 2003 issue of the ADA News reported that over one-third of Massachusetts Dental Society dentists have donated their time to CHIP programs. Probably because they're all Masons. Saturday, November 19th, the Health Advisory Committee of the Linfield Schools, which host a community-wide CHIP event at Huckleberry Hill School, during the annual pancake breakfast. The program will be managed by community
Masons.
That's right, pancakes and Masons, and it will be manned by community and Masonic volunteers. Oh, isn't that nice? Well,
who's in the fryer? Who's on the frying pan? Huh?
Us if we're not careful.
It is us already. Yeah. It's starting to get warmer.
Yeah. And after registration, every child is interviewed on videotape. The volunteer asks questions such as, what is your favourite colour? Or where did you go to school? This is obviously one of those things that you really need to ask children if you're going to find them, if they've been kidnapped or murdered or something. You know, knowing their favourite colour is obviously great because the murderer would have obviously buried them beside a building that's their favourite colour, you know. Where do you go to school? The Freemasons recommend that each video be appended annually at future CHIP events so that it is possible to see the progression of change, like a Barack O'Barry change.
Do you believe in a creator? Do you?
Yeah. Will you perform sexual acts with our oldest membership? Fingerprinting is a well-known and classic means of identification. Fingerprints do not change significantly over time. Children usually enjoy the process of fingerprinting. Oh, the children love being fingerprinted. Won't somebody please think of the children and how much they want to act like a criminal?
They enjoy it. We roll their fingers in a pyramid-shaped ink tray before... Weirdos, man. And you can see them doing it. You can see them doing it on YouTube. Anyone wants to Google it, there's a few videos there. Yeah. I mean, look, there's two ways to look at it, you know. And like I say, the Masons do lots of good work, lots of good community work. And this could be some of it. But, you know, the cynical side of me and the serious side of me are like both are saying, hey, wait a minute, where are the results? We've got so many in the States. So many children going missing on a yearly basis, and I've seen figures anywhere up to sort of 2 or 3 million. I don't know who to believe or what source to believe sometimes, but there is a huge problem. It's escalating. And where are the results from this Mason CHIP program if they've had such large attendance rates? There should be some results. And isn't it just so ironic, though, how we talk about the New World Order and how they want to institute a chip program and register your children, register you. And then the Freemasons, who are, you know, a group high and held in high suspicion in regard to the New World Order, have this exact program. I just find that all too likely. But once again, I suppose that's my paranoia.
Yeah. Well, dentists and other healthcare workers are needed for the dental impression phase of the chip. You know, plastic wafers called tooth prints, designed by Dr. David Tessini of Massachusetts, are warmed to the temperature of hot cocoa, about 120 degrees Fahrenheit, and the child is asked then to bite on it. The impression technique is very simple and provides a great deal of information. Investigators can use this piece of plastic to determine the size, shape, and position of a child's teeth. Another benefit is the presence of saliva odor on the toothprint. The odor of the saliva may be most important benefit for newly missing children. While a six-year-old's toothprint may be useful for many years, it is best to update it annually. The toothprint or sample must be kept in the refrigerator, not the freezer, until it is needed. The toothprint staff role was recently expanded to include using a cotton swab to collect a DNA sample by wiping the inside of the child's mouth. Okay, categorizing and documenting your children. That's what these people really want to do. The benefits of saliva odor have led to the introduction of a new safety tip for children called Spit for Safety. Scent dogs, often used to find missing and abducted children, and chalk in the back seats of people with really nice cars that the cops are thrown in there, of course, easily follow the odor of the subject's saliva. With this in mind, adults and children who are lost are asked to spit on the ground periodically. Dogs will follow the spit trail to the victim. Hey, Hansel and Spittle. the saliva. It's no secret that the Freemasons, with the help of the Massachusetts Dental Society, are helping to keep our children safe. Oh. The benefits of the chip program are available free to all comers, especially the pedophiles. No pun intended. The next event in our area is Saturday, November 19th, 8 a.m. at the Huckleberry School. Now, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I certainly wouldn't want to take any kids that I'm in charge of down to get chronicled and categorized and chipped. Well, they're not literally chipping them here. They're just getting their DNA and teeth and fingerprints. Much like
they're not putting a microchip in them, so we're not misrepresenting the Masons in that way. But look, you know, they're a secret society. They are a secret society. They are. And you can't walk in there during their ritual. You can't go in with a video camera and film their ritual. You can watch them on YouTube because some people have leaked them, or some of them have been done openly, but you know, they're not an open society, okay? They keep the privacy and confidentiality very close to them, which is their right. But then when they want to take your kids in and log them into some sort of database with the same secret structure remaining, I sort of say, wait a minute, you know? Wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
And what if some of these people are involved in the child trafficking? And, you know, just what if? Then you're opening up a database of information that's able to be covered up to such individuals. I'm not saying because they're Masons they're all stealing children. I'm just saying any person in society could be one of these sickos. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. And also on top of that, we've got all the banksters to worry about. And this in from blacklistednews.com. Federal Reserve to become the largest holder of U.S. debt in just over a month? Probably the most interesting thing in the week's Fed balance sheet is update that the treasuries held by the Fed are now $812 billion, an increase of $7 billion from the week before. Those who follow the FRBNY's almost daily Pomo liquidity explosion. Know all too well. Indicatively, Japan owns $821 billion and China $847 billion. We believe that within 1 week, the Fed will surpass Japan as the second largest holder of treasuries and China, the current top holder, in just over a month. Another notable item, Fed excess reserves were at $981 billion, a decline from $1.01 trillion at the beginning of the month. But most notably, in the past month, this number hit a year low of $932 billion on September 15th. One wonders just what securities the banks were buying up with these reserves. Keep in mind, the stock market closed essentially at the level it hit on September 20, making one wonder just how much of the factor the nearly $80 billion decline in bank excess reserves in the first 2 weeks of the month may have been. Securities held outright to $2.44 trillion, a decline of $7 billion from the week prior. All right, $2.044 billion, sorry, a decline of $7 billion from the week prior. Total treasury holdings increased from $805 to $812 billion. The reason for the increase being, of course, the continued UST purchasing via QE Lite. The Fed has bought $25 billion in treasuries in September alone. MBS holdings declined. And by the way, every single time that these bankster scum buy up all the treasury bills and bonds and stuff like that, gives them a license to make money up out of thin effing air and then buy up real assets with it. So God knows what the heck they're doing with this. MBS holdings declined by $13 billion to $1.08 trillion. Oh, so we're experiencing a decline just to $1.08 trillion. Oh, the poor dears. Meaning that, as we expected, the level of prepaying is accelerating, as this was the biggest one-week decline in MBS notional outstanding on the Fed's balance sheet since QE1 began. And agency holdings were also flat at $154 billion. And net borrowings declined by $7 billion at $53 billion. All right. And float liquidity swaps, Maiden Lane, and other assets, $187 billion, an increase of $1. FX liquidity swaps are at $61 million, as the same bank that is experiencing a US dollar funding crisis continues to have no value. The value of Maiden Lane 1, I was at $28.4 billion. Maiden Lane 2, $15.8 billion. Maiden Lane 3, $23 billion. While AIA Aurora was $25.7 billion. The monetary base was $1.958 trillion, or more on M2 later. And reserve balances with banks, $982 billion, a slight increase of $2 billion from the prior week. And foreign holdings of USTs and MBS at the new all-time high of $3.23 trillion. A increase of just under $2 billion. You know, and if you have a look at the graph here, all right, imagine you're like in New York City, okay, and every building in New York City, with the exception of the Empire State Building, is leveled, okay? And you can see the contrast between the ground level and the very top of that building. That's the contrast between the start of trading and this big increase that's happening here. The bankers are loading the world's economy with false liquidity so that they can buy up all the real assets, buy up all the land, buy up all the businesses, buy up everything that's productive, and leave all the rest of us all to die. Again, my opinion. I could be wrong, and I certainly hope I am. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back.
Divided we fall. Unity, please don't desert me. There must be some kind of way out of here.
Send the military budget to the Franco Mary. Oh, yeah. Those of you out there bathing in DU radiation, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. It's the COINTELPRO CIA-funded show designed to convince you that you can beat the New World Order. Meanwhile, we're just trying to trap you in our web of evil scheminess. That's right. Hey, maybe that'll upset a few people, don't you think, Will? Oh, these COINTELPROs are getting better and better all the time, accusing themselves of being COINTELPRO. That's even worse COINTELPRO than the regular COINTELPRO, bro, on the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio, man.
Probably. No, I mean, like, you know how we were talking earlier about all these shills that you come across and they accuse people of doing things and how do you discern who's who? I just say, well, ignore them all. You know, if Peter Joseph wants to come on the show, I suppose he can come on the show and we can debate him about being an occultist. And about how there's no New World Order because, you know, the Federal Reserve that he exposes and the pagan religions that he exposes, they just arrange themselves, you know. They just all magically come together just as, you know, your house builds itself and your car builds itself and fixes itself. The dollar bill designed itself and all these obelisks in every major city design themselves and just all of it is organic. It's from the spirit of the universe. And none of it's man-made, none of it's orchestrated, none of it's planned.
Yep. Totally, everything's a coincidence. You know, human beings don't think, human beings don't plan, human beings don't scheme, human beings aren't greedy. Never existed. I mean, what are you talking about? You must be a conspiracy theorist if you think otherwise.
No, you must be an idiot. You've got to be a total idiot.
No. Even better than that, you have to be effing stupid to use the parlance of our Peter Joseph man. All right, and I was really quite insulted with that, with him making that assertion that if you know about the New World Order, you're effing stupid. And I watched that with a zeitgeist mate of mine, Gordy. You know Gordy, good dude, right? And he said, "Yep, I agree with everything Peter Joseph has said there." And I was like, "Dude, what? Are you crazy?" You know? And I was just like, "Well, man." You think that there's no New World Order? He's like, yeah, well, it's just all ethereal, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's just like, well, for goodness sake, man, you haven't done your research, okay? You don't know, all right? The only reason
who
why
anybody 9/11?
Would... Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing, right? It's a disconnect. They think that 9/11 just happened because of the fact that the world's a bad place, and therefore bad things happen in the bad place because there's bad vibes that dictate everything magically, you know, of course. And anybody who thinks otherwise is, quote, effing stupid.
Yeah.
God, this is going to get so hilarious, man. Oh, my God, it's like graphic.
It's so crazy.
But then
they don't believe in religion, and they don't – so they're all for science and stuff, you know. So they're for science. They should realize that someone somehow pulled those buildings down. Now, I don't know if it was all thermite. I don't know if it was – you know, space-based weapons. But I tend to believe that it was a controlled demolition. Okay? Someone put the bombs in the building. Someone above them gave them the clearance to do that. Someone above them gave them the direction to do that. Probably had about 3 or 4 degrees of separation, at least. At the very least. You know, although there's only 6 degrees of separation on planet Earth, sometimes there's 10 degrees of separation between a dupe on the street and a high-profile guy running the show. They put more filters in the way, so it takes more time, or they're less likely of being discovered. But you know, it still requires planning from men and organisations. It requires strict planning, strict forethought. And for Peter Joseph just to say, "Well, these are all byproducts of the differential advantage system we have," and resource-based economy, this would never occur because the fundamental corruption of money would never exist. By the way, my name is a fundamental corruption because it's a lie and a fraud, and I'm not really called Peter Joseph.
And then if somebody accuses me of being secret or says that I'm a coward or anything like that, I don't spend any time in those people, because then I would have to explain why I do what I do. Right. I don't like it when people look, if you get accused of something, face your accuser. All right? That's what I think, personally. If you get accused of something really, really bad, it's even more important. And anybody who chooses not to face their accuser, there's a couple of different reasons for it. Either A1, they're avoiding the spotlight being put on themselves by omitting it and walking away, much like the time that I ambushed John Key, our Prime Minister, and asked him about Helen Clark's plans for world government and reducing all of our nation's standing armies and putting them into the all-powerful world system. He said, "Oh, send me a letter," and he buggered off. And the other possibility is that you're doing too much good and you're spending too much time, and the accusation is so insane that it is simply not worth spending your time on. All right. And maybe there's another reason for it as well, but I don't know. That's basically it. If you don't face your accusers, it's either because your accusers are completely insane, or you're dodgy and you don't want to face them, because then you know that you'll be exposed in the process. Which one do you think Peter Joseph is, Will?
I wouldn't know. I mean, that would be speculation. All I know is that what he produced there rides on truth movement, anti-New World Order dissent. So he's taken what David Icke and Alex Jones have set up in the 9/11 truth movement, and hundreds of other people. But those two come to mind as big players in it, especially Alex Jones. And who does believe in a New World Order, who doesn't say always openly that they did 9/11, or doesn't say it at least in some of the movies, but that is the insinuation. Groups like Architects and Engineers like to keep it to the scientific evidence, so they don't want to attract ridicule by even speculating as to who was responsible for 9/11. But we know that there was people involved in government, and I personally think it's people way above government.
Yeah, I think
age old plan, but Peter Joseph, man, like his production there uses anti New World Order stuff, but then he doesn't believe in a New World Order himself. So doesn't he wonder why, when he has to take something like 9/11 to put in the first edition of Zeitgeist, why is he using the material of effing crazy people, according to him? Why? Because he's a propagandist, because he believes in using and capturing dissent and using that to feed back into his own controlled mechanism, which is of the system. That's right. Zeitgeist is off the Illuminati. I mean, like, we have a resource-based economy, guys. It's just that the notes by which we denote the resources have been manipulated. Gold markets in the past were manipulated. Money stick system in the past was manipulated. Everything gets manipulated because there's not freedom of information, because there are secret societies, because there is ignorance, because some people are stupid, and smarter people use leverage over them. Just as a strong man has the leverage of muscle, a smart man uses his brain, and certain smart men, certain speculative organizations have used their wit to make other men their slaves. And Peter Joseph is part of that. He's definitely part of that. He's an open-minded guy. He's a smart guy, of course. But he's part of that deception. He's part of making people feel that they are in complete and utter control of the day-to-day mechanisms and machinations of the system, which is untrue.
one might even go to say, forward to say it's a blatant lie, but how do we talk to the Zeitgeist people about this? Because like Peter Joseph, they're intelligent people. What could we do about this? I mean, would they be brainwashed and believe in Zeitgeist even with evidence to the contrary?
Well, a lot of them don't just believe in Zeitgeist. They just look at it just as another DVD, just like Zero, just like Loose Change, Final Cut, and that's good. That's the way I look at Zeitgeist. There's some interesting stuff in there. I like having the discussion out there. I like it because it at least raises certain questions that the average slave won't. But as a ultimate dissertation on what's going on in the world, and as an ultimate thing to throw your eggs into, No, it's completely of the same. It's completely occultic in broad terms. The whole thing's completely occultic. There's nothing wrong with having money. There is something wrong with debasing a money supply and therefore debasing people's labor from being rewarded fairly.
Yeah, and he tries to make it all about kind of like fashion and all of that kind of stuff. It's like, well, the people on Madison Avenue are the ones who kind of define what fashion is, what culture is, what's acceptable, that kind of thing. And they go into this different social stratification and things like that in the Zeitgeist movement, and they say that in the end, and this is from Jacques Fresco himself, who believes that 9/11 was done by a bunch of Arabs with box cutters who made NORAD stand down, of course.
Does he?
I was quite shocked to learn that.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable, right. But what he says is that in the Venus Project Society, there will be no social stratification. There won't be any human hierarchy. So what is that, like a collectivist ideology? Certainly sounds like it to me.
I thought Jacques Fresco was the brains behind the Zeitgeist movement. I know they divide it up and it's Peter Joseph's creation, supposedly. It's globalist handlers, more like. And then he gets people like that world Christ, Krishnamurti, theosophic figure, one of these Alice Bailey proteges, to chant throughout it and talk about... Yeah, I mean, so Jacques Fresco doesn't believe 9/11 is an inside job, but what has pinned to him anyway, the Zeitgeist movement, a third of the first movie was based upon that. Is that for real, Vinny? I haven't seen this.
What do you mean? Well, sorry.
Jacques Fresco doesn't believe in what a third of the first Zeitgeist was all about, 9/11 being an inside job.
Well, this is based on watching the video of his... question and answer tablet, when he was in England, and he talks about the war and social stratification and things like that, and he makes a reference to how those with inferior technology are usually suppressed, but they find other technology to, fight or whatever if they're being suppressed through a technocracy. And he came up with the example of Arabs flying planes into buildings because they didn't have the technology to fight otherwise. Right now,
so he found a false example to justify his so-called little theory there. So how can you trust this guy when you can't even see through what his own movement's meant to be based in? That the elite are carrying out things to drive people into their old world system, according to Zeitgeist. I mean, it's unbelievable. Who controls all the resources in a resource-based economy? Who controls most of the land on this planet right at this point in time?
That was the questions that was asked in that meeting. And notably... they say that, basically, that kind of dodges the question. Because it didn't become about the who, right? And this is the main criticism that people lay on the Zeitgeist movement, is that the Zeitgeist movement doesn't focus on the who, it focuses on the what, and it doesn't focus on the problem, it focuses on the solution. All right. And that is a very, very difficult social stratification technique designed to convince people that one way and only one way is the surefired way to success, when the scientific principle would offer a different solution to a one way and only one way type solution, because you'd have to find it out, wouldn't you, via the scientific method. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
We're back live.
'Cause we can see. The way it's going to be.
At thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, you can access some things. Man, seriously. Cruise into thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. You can have a look at our after the show podcast that we do. It's R18 though, because the truth is not for children, or at least not the brand that I want to put out anyway. Because quite frankly, I get sick a little bit of FCC regulations, and doing our uncensored podcast is my little way of saying F you to the FCC. Let's see what they do about it. All right, now. Last segment of the show, last segment of the week, and it has been a fabulous week. Only had one guest this week, though, the old Tim Selwyn from Two Mech here. He's kind enough to join us on Thursday's show. New Zealand's Thursday show, I suppose it would be Wednesday show for those in the United States. And towards the end of the week, sometimes I forget, but I always try to get this out, is a thanks to the crew. We've had our executive producer, Mitch, going through ridiculous amounts of internet worries. He's been without internet for, what was it, like 12 days? Unbelievable. This country, New Zealand, internet sucks. Oh, like, no kidding. You can get better internet in Manila than you can in Auckland, New Zealand. Heck. Just absolutely ridiculous. But thank God he's back online. Oh, God. And it's a great weight off his shoulders, too. And despite the fact that he had no internet and the show is basically run almost exclusively online, he's kept in touch very well and has still been working behind the scenes in a bazillion different ways. So thank you very much, Mitch. And I've got Will here. He has... as many people now have started to realize, enormous amounts of knowledge, okay, on the New World Order agenda. And quite frankly, I've learned an awful lot from Will this week in particular, a lot about Freemasons and several various other New World Order agendas. Quite grateful for that. And he also kind of helps to balance the equation on this show. Me with the humour, him with the, well, I suppose with a little bit of humour as well, and great research. And also there was our associate producer, Chris, who's been sending us articles relatively regularly to read out on the show. So thank him very much. And also the owner of the network, Danny, and Dan Jr., on the board, has been doing a fabulous job this week. And I'd like to thank the network and everybody for allowing us to do this show. My personal belief structure on how my life runs is that everything that I've ever gotten that's good has been given to me. All right, firmly believe that. The show was given to me. The board op running has been given to me. The VinnieEastwoodShow.com has been given to me. The GorillaMedia.co.nz has been given to me. My camera, my computer, all bought with bonuses that got given to me by the company I was working for. You know, everything good in my life gets given to me. And as a result, I've developed this sort of appreciative mechanism, which is quite ironic, really, because I generally am very thankless. You know, unless somebody does something absolutely exceptional, I barely acknowledge them or thank them. And that's usually pretty straightforward, you know, and that's why I thank all the people that have anything to do with this show, because they are very exceptional people. And lastly, speaking of absolutely exceptional people, the listeners. We've been getting in lots of feedback. People are telling us how much they absolutely love the show, that they're listening to it everywhere, on their iPods, at their computer desks at work. And let's hope that we make being a slave easier. And, you know, because you listening to the show makes our job easier, because it means that we're getting encouragement flying in, you know. And that's kind of one of the wonderful things about being a propagandist, is that we need propaganda to help us keep going. Let us know we're not talking into the wind. So thank you for listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will.
This is the thing, Vinny.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, thanks, Vinny, for your thoughts and comments. And I totally agree, and just echo the same sentiment. But it just made me think, you know, you spent the last 5 minutes expressing empathy and emotion and what you could generally say is just love, right? Now, when science can define love, we can have a zeitgeist-run, scientific-run society. See what I mean? Just think about that. You know, see what I mean? Like, love is an indefinable virtue.
And it's totally irrational.
It's totally irrational. It's totally abstract from any mathematical formula that I've ever heard of. It might be one for it. I'm sure there is. But look, until science can define things like love, science can't work out the most simple things like the common cold. We can't have a society based in science, Zeitgeist. We can't have a society that will lead to a totalitarian, fascist interpretation. And, you know, people who say love should be the whole of the law, then live by that. Have a natural system. A free system.
Freedom is quite the hard puppy to come across, because often it's not something you are given. It's something you have to take, and you can't take it just for yourself. You have to take it on behalf of everybody, because everybody deserves it, and nobody will have it given to them. It's in the service of others that you find yourself. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will. Love you very much, and we'll be back next week.